Morning, everybody. How are we doing? One piece of housekeeping. David Bowens, who missed yesterday, for personal reasons, he had a little boy, so David Jr., and happened late the Tuesday night, so he's back with us, and everybody's happy and healthy, so that's good news. In terms of today, what we're going to be working on is our third down package, offensively and defensively, and spend a lot of time on this, trying to make sure that we have a plan in place that, one, is going to be effective against what they do, and two, emphasize the things that that we think we can really improve on and carry over, not just this week, but week to week. I thought yesterday overall was a good start to the week. I think we added some tackling drills to continue to emphasize that. We'll do that again today. And just continually focusing on fundamentals and improving those things to make sure that even after we execute the scheme or there's a completion or whatever it is, that we're doing things fundamentally sound to either limit the production or to maximize the production offensively. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Were you able to tell much from Steve Heiden yesterday whether you think you will have him or?
Well, I think we have a good chance there, but I want to go through the week because there was a week there where he got a little bit of time and wasn't able to participate like we hoped he would. I think the same thing with Phil, made some progress there, and I think there's a real good shot, but got to get through the rest of the week and make sure that everything responds the way we think it's going to respond, we hope it responds. And ideally, he'll be back as well.
If the injury was on his plant leg as opposed to his kicking leg, would Phil be back already? Is it that type of injury?
You know, I'm not sure what. Honestly, I didn't look at it that way. I'm not sure how that would have affected it from a timeline perspective.
Why would you be any more likely to give him another week, just because then it means two more weeks?
Well, it's really not. We wouldn't put him out there if we felt that there was a chance that it could be a big setback or anything along those lines. Whenever he is out there, that's when we feel that he's able to do it. So, you know, with the bye week next week, it's not something that we're rushing, but we wouldn't do that whether it's a bye week next week or not.
He was very candid yesterday when I asked him about his stats. Excuse me. He said they're garbage and he doesn't look at them. Do you pay much attention to stats?
No. What I'm looking at is where we can improve the execution, because the stats will come if we improve the execution and how we can improve the execution. And that, to me, is the most important thing. Defensively, you know, I've been part of situations where the numbers weren't very good, but the point total was low, and traditionally that's been consistent with this style of defense, and that's, at the end of the day, that's a goal. You know, turnovers for us is a stat that I do look at because it's been significant, and the amount of points that we've given up as a result of turnovers, I think we're net minus 56. So points we've generated from our turnovers versus points that the opponent has generated from the turnovers we've given up. And that stat is significant. And it's something that has to improve. And until it does, it's hard. It's hard each week.
Garrett, yesterday you talked about Jay Cutler's ability to keep plays alive, thread the needle. You've already dealt with that in a couple of games this year. Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger. What do you have to do differently in the secondary this week to prevent the big play which they've been susceptible to?
Yeah, it feels like we've dealt with that every week. I mean, Carson, I mean, he's another guy that is able to move around the pocket and create some different things. Flacco, I mean, he's got good mobility. I mean, those guys, not that stationary quarterbacks are easier to deal with, I mean, depending on what kind of passer they are. Peyton doesn't move around a lot in the pocket. Tom doesn't move around a lot in the pocket, but you know, they put up pretty big numbers. It just is, it's different on the back end because the defense that you have called to cover the play that you anticipate getting run, when it breaks down, the fits on the breakdown have to be consistent because each team has a set of scramble rules, and each team's scramble rules are different. So then you have to cover your scramble rules based on man-to-man defense, which is easier because you stay with the guy that you're on, or zone defense and understanding where you have to fit based on is the outside receiver going to run a comeback or is he going to continue down the field? Is the closest receiver going to be the low-level guy or is he going to be the deeper-level guy? So there's a bunch of different things that happen, and as a defensive line, it's critical that you keep those guys in the pocket so you don't get to that next level. And so it all works together, and you have to prepare for what they run, what happens if it breaks down, and it adds some preparation.
Michael Gaines to you. And
how what?
Useful in preparing for the Bears.
Well, he does give some insight, but you also John is here as well, St. Clair, who has some experience with the Bears as well. But they know both those guys are here too, so I'm sure taking that into account, maybe the traditional audibles, the traditional checks, the things like that, odds are those aren't going to stay the same through this week. And typically when you get to this point in the season, every team changes it up maybe every couple weeks or enough every couple weeks so that it's not following the same pattern. There's so many guys on so much movement that usually have somebody who knows something about that team.
Eric, when your team is 1-6, you know, all the stuff you're going through, what do you sell them on for the rest of the season? How do you approach this?
You know, I don't really look at it as selling them on anything. To me, it's on understanding what's important to get fixed. And the difference between the right approach and the wrong approach. And there's been a lot of weeks in the recent past here where we've had the right approach, and I didn't think we played the way we should play on Sunday in terms of our style of play. And that's the starting point. The scheme, the calls, those things are going to change week to week. Those things are going to be different based on which individual you're playing against, but the style of play has to remain consistent, and the level of preparation has to remain consistent. And it's always easy to come in after a win and prepare, and it's just important to prepare that the same way after a win as you would any other week, and it's really the same approach. If you aren't winning, is the only way to win is to be consistent and fix things, and understanding that it's more teaching that element as opposed to selling any sort of miracle cure. There isn't one. It's hard work. It's commitment. It's dedication. It's consistency. That's the formula.
I think PA's the only guy that's running a touchdown for you inside the five. What's been the problem running the ball?
Well, last week, one of the problems was we had the fumble exchange. We had a play that I think had a real good chance to get home, and we had that exchange, and we ended up losing a little bit of yardage on that. Thought we had a chance on the other one. The puller got knocked off as he was coming around, kind of got hit his hip, so he couldn't get in the hole to get the linebacker he was assigned to. The one to the left there, yep. And so we didn't have a hat for a hat on that, and he just got chipped. So his pull could have been a little bit deeper, and I think it would have avoided the contact. But that's the difference between having a hat or not having a hat is maybe 8 inches on the pull. So you had to get that fixed.
Considering those issues, I mean, have you ever toyed with the idea of putting a defensive lineman in there to just slam somebody down?
Yeah, you know, I used to put Seymour back there some. Klecko, when we had him, little Klecko, not big Klecko. He's not that little. He's 300 pounds, but, you've done some of that. It's a different world, though. I mean, everybody wants to be back there. Everybody talks about being back there. And you get back there, and it gets noisy, especially on the goal line. And when you're used to hitting someone, and even though you are kind of with the, with the blocking, it's still different. So we're willing to try different people there, but it's not the same world, I think. And guys figure that out pretty quickly when they are back there.
Why is Brable so good at that? Just because he's so smart?
Well, he is. He's got great hands too. He's made some really impressive catches. And we've worked a couple different guys as tight ends. I thought you were talking about more the fullback spot.
Using different guys, I just wondered kind of.
Yeah, the other thing that happened, Seymour ended up getting hurt, Klecko ended up getting hurt, kind of moved away from the D lineman fullback role a little bit from that.
Not in that role,
right? Yeah, in that role.
In that role?
Yeah.
Both of them did.
That'll
yeah. Change your mind.
Yeah, it does.
How tough is it to call inside the five when you aren't 100% confident that you're going to be able to run it in? Does that change the way Brian would have to call the offensive in there?
No, we felt confident last week that we could run it in, and we did call two of the three plays there to do that. And I think we had a shot probably more so on the first one than the second one to get it in. So it wasn't a question of not having confidence there, just the fumbled exchange hurt us at that point.
Yeah, but when you made that trade on draft day, Kenyon Coleman was going to be a run stopper. What kind of season does he have?
Well, he's done a good job in the role that he's had. And really, when we're looking at other defensive linemen that were available in that range, I think he probably has more play time and production than guys that were drafted in that spot. So that's a positive. And then Alex has been able to play 100% of the snaps, and I think he's making some real strides there as well.
I'm not asking you to assess the trade, but just Kenyon Coleman specifically.
Well, but that was really part of the trade, and when you're looking at the range or the defensive linemen that were available in that area, and then look at Kenyon's production versus that group, I think in that context, it's been positive, and Kenyon's a pretty consistent guy, so he's performed how I envisioned him to perform. He's got a sack this year, I think, which is higher than his normal total.
Eric, with the offense, having some struggles, do you have to take some pages out of the playbook and say, let's go back and try to get a core plays, things that we can really do well, maybe fit what, the personality of the team at the time, and then kind of expand it almost kind of a mini training camp all over again?
Yeah, we've done a lot of that, and sometimes it's taking the core plays and getting to them in a different way that creates the defense that you want to run those core plays. So it may be the same concept, but you put the tight end outside the receiver and he runs the number one position's route. And the number two, then you get a little bit different matchup, same concept, same route, same read for the quarterback. It's just some different matchups. And, there's been some scaling back with some of the stuff we do. Some of it I've liked, some of it I haven't liked. Some of the things I think that we need to re-engage in and reincorporate into the scheme. So we'll do some of that too.
Receivers, has it been more apparent maybe in the passing game as far as those two guys are affected?
Brian, the numbers don't really show it, but I think he has done some better things over the course of his time of playing more. Route depths, stick at the top of the routes, really understanding the different coverages. I think there's been progress. Just he hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities to get the ball. The few opportunities that he has had, he caught the one on the sideline, he wasn't in bounds, caught the other in cut. Hopefully we'll keep getting him more and more involved as we go.
Derek, when the team's struggling to score, I mean, they finally get down inside the puck like you did, and you can't bang it in. I'm not saying it wrecks the whole game, but is there just a deflating thing and confidence factor for your offense when you do get these opportunities, you don't cash them in?
Well, you always want to get seven, and I think there's an approach that we need to continue to take in terms of being able to get the ball into the end zone, and you really understand how important the smallest details are there, because there's not a lot of margin for error. You've got everybody jammed up inside. Like I was talking about with the puller, you know, it's a difference between a very small amount of distance, but one, he gets knocked off. The other one, you know, if he had gone deeper, probably would have had the hat that we needed. So I think it's more about understanding how subtle the differences are down there and being able to capitalize on those things. And ideally, too, Terry, you get down there more often. I mean, that would help, too. Just law of averages.
It becomes more magnified because you're not down there a whole lot. So
yeah, and I'm looking to get down there more often to increase the averages of getting in. Where's Keegan? You're our guest reporter today from Iowa.
Go ahead, ask your questions.
They're not going to be hard, are they? Oh. You look really nice.
Coach Mangini, if you could have any player in the NFL, who would you want and why?
Ooh. I thought we agreed it wasn't going to be hard. Who do you like, Keegan? There's a lot to choose from. A lot of good guys. I really like the players I have. Are you having fun today? Hawkeyes fan? Good answer.